Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. It is March 26th. The NBA playoffs are soon approaching, and this will be an NBA show. It will be an Atlanta Hawks show. Not to say I told you so, but I did. That's the title of today's show. I said that we barely beat the Nets the last time with Paul and Baze. We might not win today. What happened? I said we legit might not make the playoffs at all. Where are we at? 36 losses. I've been saying that Taurean Prince should have been starting 2 months ago because he proved he can play. Said that Bembry should be getting all the minutes at backup point guard. How many did the point guard position give us tonight? 2 points again? I said that Paul's production could be replaced by either one or a combination of players like Silva and Chris Humphrey and Moose. Excuse me. I said that Seth and Bayes should be coming off the bench because their average plus whatever Dunleavy and Humph and Illy and Bembry would give us would be more than enough. But it doesn't matter because we never do anything that makes logical sense because the Hawks don't do logical. Tune in, call in, listen in. Tonight is a night where we're almost at the end, y'all. Everybody who's an Atlanta Hawk fan, anybody who's been paying attention to this franchise for the last 30, 40 years at this point, the numbers don't lie. And the situation that we've been put in as fans to continue to support the foolery is at an all-time, I don't even know what to call it, but the situation that we're in is pretty bad. Because let's just look at it from the standpoint of it's March 26th and we're 37-36. Tied for fifth currently with the Milwaukee Bucks, who have won 7 out of their last 10 games, while we have lost 7 of our last 10 games, right? Okay? There's no way we're going to get the fourth spot at this point. There's no way that's going to happen, okay? Indiana continues to lose. Miami, they're still hovering. But Miami and Indiana have a better chance of solidifying a playoff spot than we do right now, just by default. Okay? And that's saying a lot, but again, the Hawks are 19-18 at home. Milwaukee has 21 victories at home. Indiana has 25 victories at home. Miami has 21 victories at home. They can win at home. Hawks can't. So whoever has more home games is probably going to make the playoffs. The Chicago Bulls have more home victories than the Atlanta Hawks do, and they're in ninth place. They still have a shot, for all intents and purposes. Detroit Pistons have more home victories than we do, 23. Charlotte Hornets have more home victories than we do, 21. Now, they would have to go on a real big win streak at the end of the day, but you never know, right? We can't even get out of a seven-game home streak. We used to lose three and win three, lose three and win three. We can't even do that now, right? So that's just one aspect of it, is just the record itself. Now, if we talk about the actual players and the positions, that's a whole nother story. Now, the number to call in tonight, folks, is 646-652-4479. I don't expect a lot of callers in tonight because I just decided to do this show, again, very last minute. Got a busy week coming up. I wanted to at least get one show in this week. It's only going to be a 30-minute show. So if you want to call in, 646-652-4479, I'll go ahead and open up the chat room while I'm thinking about it to see if we can get anybody in there. Let's talk about the players. Let's just talk about the numbers of it all because I want to give you an example, okay? If we take – let me see if I can do this. Let me move this calculator around a little bit. If we take – Bazemore's average right now, which is 11 points a game, right? So let's put that in the calculator. 11 points, right? Plus, what, let's see if, let's put in Mike Dunleavy, 5 points a game, right? And let's, if Chris Humphreys ever got any minutes and we put his 4.5 points a game in, right? I'll just put four to make it easy. Ilyasova is doing about 13 a night, okay? Just those people right there, that's 33 points a game. So let's throw in, let's see, Tabo, forgot about Tabo. Let's put in his 3 points a night, okay? That's 36 points a night coming off the bench if those players are the primary people coming off the bench every night, okay? And that's Tabo, that's Bazemore, that's Bembry, okay, and Chris Humphreys, all right? And if we want to put Moose in there, let's put Moose in there when he gets minutes and he's playing well. That's 42 points a night coming off your bench if that's your rotation on a regular basis. Now, let's say if we take the starting lineup that I say should have been in there a long time ago, let's see what that comes out to be, okay? So, point guard, of course, is Dennis. He's doing his 18 a night. Okay, 18, right? Shooting guard would be Tim Hardaway Jr. Right now his average is 14 a night, even though we know probably he'll be a little bit more if he's really starting all the time, right? Small forward would be Taurean Prince, which is average right now because of the minutes he's been getting in 50 games that he's played. It's not a lot. So he's averaging about 5 points a game right now. Okay, I'm just putting in what the actual average is. We know I'm going to change this in a minute. Paul Millsap, oh, he's in there, 18 points a game, right? And then Dwight Howard, which right now is averaging 13. That's 110 points a game. So, that being said, why in the world can't we get 110 points a game out of this team? Oh, because certain players aren't able to have minutes and to be productive and actually play spots that matter. Because guess what? That's 110 points with Taurean averaging 4.8 and THJ averaging 14. Right? What if we throw in what Tim Hardaway Jr.'s average has been as a starter over the last few weeks? Guess what? That 110 points goes up a lot more, doesn't it? Same thing with Taurean Prince. Taurean Prince, with minutes, is averaging 10, 12, 14, 15 points a game. He scored, what, 17 points again today? So scoring shouldn't even be an issue, and that's with the players I mentioned should be coming off the bench and giving you production. You see what I'm saying? But no, what happens? You got Malcolm Delaney averaging 2 points a game, right? We have Moose, who unfortunately isn't doing anything this year, unfortunately. I don't know why. He has some good shooting nights, but he hasn't really been in the lineup because of the seven-man rotation all of a sudden that Bud put in. Can't do anything with that. Can't. It's wild. It's ludicrous. It's stupid. Okay, and again, I put people on the bench who's not scoring on the starting lineup now. I would have to rely on Tabo to get his 2.9 points a game and his 7.3, actually. Oh, see, I put the raw number in there for that. So let's add that in there. It's still going to be over 110. So if you got if you have Tabo with 7.3, and you have Bazemore with 11, you see what I'm saying, coming off the bench, and then they're coming out with that energy and the defense and all that kind of stuff. Isn't that better than what's going on now where they're not being productive as starters, they're not giving us any points as starters, and getting points from your starting lineup, where Torian is getting you 10 to 15 a night, and THJ is probably hitting 20 a night, because that's what he's usually getting, at least 16, that's a big jump, isn't it? 646-652-4479, but it's not going to happen. And you continue to throw Malcolm Delaney out there getting his 2 points a night. Jose had a real bad game tonight, but I still feel he's better at that position than Malcolm is. But I still say that Bembry has all the skill sets of being our backup point guard, and he hustles, and he runs the floor, and he can pass, and he can score. And he's proven that when he's gotten minutes, or when you throw him down in the D-League. Okay? Chris Humphreys has proven over this past year and a half he's been a hawk, that every time he gets some serious playing time, he's going to hit somebody. He's going to get a rebound. He's going to block a shot. He's going to hit a jumper that's needed. He's going to do it. Ilya Sova, he didn't have a good game yet today overall. Everybody had a bad shooting night tonight, though, overall. And the other night he was in foul trouble. But Ilya Sova can score. He can shoot. He leads the league in taking charges. He's an active player when he's on the floor. My point is this. We've lost the opportunity to get value for Paul Millsap. And people are quick to say, well, look at what the Hawks are doing without Paul. This is just showing how much we need Paul. And we're going to overpay Paul at 32 years of age to get us a steady 18 points a game and hopefully help us win some games. Well, at a certain point, again, who cares about winning games if we can't ever advance? And right now, this is not a team that can advance. This team can't beat anybody in a seven-game series, mostly because of not just the lineup, but the style of play and coaching. Throw that in there, too. It's not good right now. And tonight was another example, because tonight was not a night to lose against the Brooklyn Nets at home, folks. At home, we get beat by a team that just played with more energy. At the end of the day, now we can throw in turnovers, we can throw in all these other little things and stuff like that, but at the, you know, excuses, excuses, excuses. Bob Rathman continues to say, Stinger continues to say, why can't Dwight get the ball? If they're saying it, why can't that be legit? If Dwight Howard can't get the ball when he's in the paint and he has his man locked down in the paint, whether or not he hits the simple hook shot or not, and whether or not he gets fouled or not, hits the foul shots, it doesn't matter. Give him the opportunity, because you want to know why? Because he's shooting 63.4% from the floor. You know the next highest person on our team, what their field goal percentage is? You want to know who that is? The next highest. It's still Mike Muscala, believe it or not. The next highest after that is THJ, 45.3. So who should be getting the bulk of the shots when they're on the floor? Now, yes, Tim Hardaway had a bad game tonight, but doggone it, you know what? You still give him the ball more than anybody else at the end of the day. Okay? You want to know who has one of the worst field goal percentages on the team? Anybody? Who's a regular? Yes, that would be Kent Bazemore at 40.7. So why would he get more field goal opportunities than Dwight or THJ? You see what I'm saying? That doesn't make any sense. Paul Millsap is at 44.3, if anybody was curious. 646-652-4479. Again, this is going to be a short show. This is only a 30-minute show. I just wanted to be able to bring out numbers when it gets down to it, because numbers are so important to people at the end of the day, because it kind of tells a good story. Because in 65 games, these games that Paul is being missed as far as him being on the floor, again, for the most part, his minutes and the numbers kind of bear out that we could have done something and we just chose not to. Okay? But again, you have these young guys who are willing to play hard all the way through the game. They should be getting more playing time, and let them get spelled by Tabo and Bayes, who they can come out and do their little, you know, get what they can. I mean, at a certain point, it just has to be changed over. What was started a few years ago needs to be finished out. Okay? You got rid of our best three-point shooter. Who's our best three-point shooter now? Let's go by the numbers. That would be actually, it'd be Mike Muscala again at 38.5%. The next person, let's see, 35 with Chris Humphreys, 36 with Illy, 35 with Tim. And believe it or not, Tabo's hitting 35%, okay? Kent Bazemore is hitting 33% from three-point line. Sometimes the numbers don't lie, folks. It's just the principle of it all, to where the people who can be most productive should be getting more of the minutes, because what else can go wrong? You see what I'm saying? What else can go wrong at this point? What is there to lose at this point? Nothing. That's the point. And for us to continue to see what's been happening over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and now to be sitting through a seven-game losing streak, and then to still hear certain players, I'm not going to name names, talking about how, you know, they're mad that the fans are being disappointed that they're not winning. What are we supposed to do? Be happy that you're losing and losing badly and losing to teams that you shouldn't be losing to on paper? What are we supposed to do? Yeah, we support you, but we're not going to support you and be happy, happy, joy, joy about it. That's crazy and stupid to say that out loud and put it on social media with pictures. That's stupid. I'm just saying. As a Hawk fan, as a longtime Hawk fan, I'm embarrassed to continue to see what's put out on the floor, and it's supposed to be acceptable. Besides the fact that at this point we're not in playoff contention, this whole thing holding on where we're a couple of games over the playoff line, what the heck is a playoff line? It used to be you either clinched or you weren't in the playoffs at all. If we're going to transition, let's finish the transition. Let Prince play. Let Bembry play. Okay? We knew this was going to be a growing pains year with Dennis, and it's been 50-50 with Dennis. And maybe next year he'll see how he did this year, and he won't ever turn the ball over again next year. Maybe. We'll see. Maybe the Hawks will never not pass the ball to Dwight when he's in the post and he got position. Like all the other teams that have centers that do that and they get the ball immediately. Maybe. I don't know. Could work. Be nice to see it every now and again just to find out. Again, what we're going to be stuck with next year, if certain non-participatory owners have their way, is we're going to give Paul Millsap $3 trillion billion. We're going to let THJ go because we can't afford to pay him. And we're going to be stuck with Kent Bazemore at shooting guard starting every night, being haphazard out there. We're still not going to have a point guard probably, because it will be so crazy. We'll just re-sign, what we got. Won't trade nobody, won't release nobody. We'll just keep what we got. Ilyasova, he might be gone. He's 29 years old. He can give us 18-7. He could. He's done it before. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if that's what we're talking about here, he can give us that, because that's what Paul has given us. And we only had 37 wins with Paul when he was healthy. So, like, seriously, what's tangible to that? Tabo is not the defensive player he used to be. He's not old. He's 32 years old, but he's been a sieve this year. He has not helped us stop nobody this year. And then if he doesn't score, that means he's no good to us. I'm sorry. That's just the truth. He's been blown up by too many players this year. Prince, on the other hand, rookie or not, I see a whole heck of a lot more. I see the drive in him. I'd rather see him out there and then let Tabo back him up as the veteran. You see what I'm saying? I'd rather have THJ out there and they let Kate Bazemore come out there doing all kind of crazy stuff or whatnot in limited minutes. Give him 15, 20 minutes a night and let Kent be Kent. Let Kent hit those stand-up, spot-up jumpers. Let him hit three of those a night for 9 points and then get a couple of other buckets and a couple of free throws and give us 10, 12 points off the bench. That's doable. That production out of two-guard position, THJ and Kent, and then Prince at the small forward with him and Seth, I think that could work. We can get another point guard because Jose is not the answer, and Malcolm obviously is not the answer. I'm sorry. In 69 games, he's averaged 5.3 points, and that was mostly stuff from earlier in the year. I'm sorry. 22% from three. That's his average, y'all. Like, and then he gets 2.5 assists. It is mind-blowing, the situation that we are in right now. We shouldn't be in it. We don't deserve it. But apparently certain ghost ownership, they believe that we're cool. We're okay with this. This is proper management of a team and resources. This is how it is. We should accept it. And I guess some people have already. I, for one, haven't. I, for one, demand better. I, for one, demand decisions to be made. And if it means sitting Paul out the rest of the year, even though he's has a clear bill of health, hey, let's make it happen. Let's see if we can hit 50 losses. See, mathematically, can we even do that? I'm not sure. But can we get a draft pick to replace Paul? Because we don't need to sign him. Can we get a draft pick that we can trade to get somebody? Maybe we'll do that. But, and by the way, and then, you know, our man, you know, Eddie Tavares messes around and get a triple-double, 12 blocks in his triple-double. But he's not needed. He's too slow coming up and down the floor. Have you ever seen Porzingis actually running down the floor? Like, seriously? He ain't no faster than Eddie was. Y'all are just silly, the people who don't believe Eddie he needed to do if he got the minutes. Because when he did get minutes, every time he got actual productive minutes where he knew he was going to be on the floor, the man blocked shots, he rebounded, and he got put back. If that's all you need from your backup center, why can't we have that 12-foot wingspan? Why? Because somebody didn't want to play him. That's all. And then didn't want to develop them because, again, somewhere in there, something failed. And maybe it's because we keep losing coaches each year, like the man who's coaching the Nets right now and the man who's coaching the Utah Jazz. And maybe we'll lose another one this year. It's foolery, y'all. We don't deserve this. We shouldn't be accepting it. Let's see who this is at the 478 number. Hey, come on in, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yo, this is Marcus Hogan from Macon, Georgia.
Mr. Hogan, how you doing, man?
Man, no, all right. You've been hiring me for like 2 months, man. I just had to finally give you a call in, man.
I know. And I hate this is going to be the short show. I'm going to give you the floor in a second. But everybody, this is Marcus Hogan. He has a great skill set in the art world. If you haven't seen him, definitely check out him on. Well, go ahead and give your information out real quick, Marcus. We'll add it.
Hey, again, this is Marcus Hogan. You can follow me on Instagram. Just look up hashtag Soulworks. You can't miss me. I'm the owner in the. But yeah, I'm glad if I can finally get in touch with you and touch base with you. Yeah, good show so far from what I heard, man.
I appreciate that. I do a decent job every now and again. Well, here's the deal. What do you think about the Hawks game today? I'm gonna give you the rest of my show today. I only did a 30-minute show because of time. But what do you think about the Hawks? What do you think they should do, or how do you feel about them right now?
All right. So let me give you two things. So the first thing, I don't even care about today's game because what I saw in the box score, I saw Taurean Prince started today. And he had 17 points. So I'm like, hold on, you started a rookie and he had 17 points? Okay, it ain't like he just showed up. He's been here the whole time. But big ups to Torian Prince and his dad, Anthony Prince, man, they showed up. They showed up. And I'm proud of that man's performance. But the second thing is, okay, win or lose, they lost the game. I didn't care. But the fact that he started and actually showed up, that was the big win for me, that he showed up actually getting that starting position. That man can do things. He can produce. Let that man eat. But the second thing is just about the Hawks thing in general. We started off this season, we signed Dwight Howard, and we were thinking about how we were going to try to get over the hump being Cleveland Cavaliers. And we looked at, you know, numbers and everything, statistics and everything, and the big thing that everybody was harping on last year was rebounding. So you go out and sign Dwight Howard and saw the rebound problem. But to me, and I'm just speaking for me on my behalf, it seemed like the initial plan kind of got derailed when Al Horford went to Boston. That's just my opinion. I like the plan that they had in place, because to me it sounds like a good plan. Hey, we got a problem. We got a problem rebounding. Defense is okay. They was like second in the league towards the end of the season, so defense is okay. They just needed somebody to help, beat down Tristan Thompson. But
let me ask you this though, Marcus. If that was the plan, and this is just from, and we got 3 minutes left. If that was the plan, and that plan didn't happen, what was the backup, and why wasn't there a backup in anticipation of maybe not being able to pull that off, and why weren't there any adjustments? How could you set up everything based off of something that wasn't done, and then still work through that the whole calendar year as if it happened?
And that's the second part, because the reason I think there was no plan, right before the trade deadline, who got traded to Cleveland? Kyle Korver. Then how many rumors came out saying, we're going to trade him, we're going to trade them? At one point, everybody was on the trading block except for a couple of key people. And then all of a sudden, Paul Millsap off a trading block. So you had a plan in place, we thought was going to happen, and then you about face and change your mind. So now we have Paul Mills up. We really can't trade him for anything. If we picks and everything, but you said he's not for sale. Because I would have loved to see what they offered for. You saw the rumor they're talking about they try to get Paul George. I want to see what we offered him.
I will, I think we deserve to see it. I think we, because again, it's a matter of, did you really do that, or are you just saying it? Because again, there's a big difference in between the two, because all the other franchises, they'll throw stuff out there to say, you know what, we try to do this, this, and this, and this. Who cares about embarrassing the player? The player don't do nothing. It's the owners who, you know what I'm saying? And so it's a matter of, it's still upsetting to me that if you had it to be able to do it, why didn't you do it? Because somewhere in there, it doesn't make that, sense to me. You know what I'm saying? So you bring up a good point, and like I said, me, it's a matter of the legitimization of a franchise is being able to make quality decisions all the time. Marcus, do you have a moment?
Yes, sir.
Okay, this is what I want to do. Everyone, definitely go to www.blogtalkradio.com/IMTMWorldwide. Subscribe for free. Visit me on Instagram, IMTM Worldwide Radio on Instagram, and also IMTM Worldwide. We're going to catch this on the other end of my show here. I'm going to end the live version, but I'm going to go another 15 minutes with Mr. Marcus Hogan. I'm going to give him some more time. Definitely, I'll put the link out later so everybody can get to listen to it. And definitely next week, I'm going to be on the show a couple more hours longer, because we're really going to talk more about Hawks basketball. But from here on in, we're going to go to the unlive version, the down version of the show. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be listening out for Marcus's thoughts, and I'm going to finish up with some of mine as well. Marcus, just hold on for me. We're going to get on to the next segment, okay?
Okay, I got you.
All right, appreciate it.
No problem.
Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. We are back. I got to come up with a name for that. I haven't done an extra 15 minutes in a long time because I'm usually doing 60-minute shows, hour shows, sometimes two-hour shows. So let's bring Marcus back on the line. Let him finish his thoughts here. Marcus, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. You should call it the overtime show, man.
There you go. I knew I brought you on the show for a reason. So the overtime. That was what we'll call it. I'll set that up and promote it next time. So here's the other thing about the Hawks. I was mentioning online and a lot of my posts. A lot of people I know read my posts and they'd be like, "Man, Chris be crazy and stuff." But it's again me being a longtime fan and just seeing the, I almost want to call it a degradation of the franchise because again, other franchises that win constantly, consistently, regularly do right by everybody. And we see the top people in the organization, we see and hear from them on a regular basis. And that's another thing about us. We don't hear from anybody unless we watching Pizza Hut commercials. And that's not cool to me anymore. You know what I'm saying? And you know, these little pot shots of wrestler, you know, here and there. But, you know, we don't have a direction for this franchise. And as you mentioned, if the direction was supposed to keep Al, but we didn't keep Al, you know, then what about Dwight then? Because we're putting Dwight in a situation where we're taking 3 years of his career away.
Right.
Okay? And so the goal wasn't to win a championship. Why is he here? What are we really doing? Because it can't just be to make the playoffs. We're the second best team in the NBA right now as far as going to the playoffs every year. So it can't be that, right? Winning the division, that's long gone, okay? So what do we got left? You see what I'm saying? And so if we're going to keep throwing Bays out there doing crazy stuff and not scoring enough points in the starting lineup and Seth's out there, why can't we go ahead and just finish it out and see what the young guys can do? And what a different rotation and lineup can do. We saw a lot of it tonight, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and I like the energy. You know, of course, Prince was going to bring it. You know, and it seemed like a different dynamic. Now, the unfortunate thing was nobody could shoot tonight. You know, THJ couldn't shoot. Prince really couldn't shoot that well. Really, Dwight was the only one who had a great field goal percentage. But he shoots 63% from the field, but he never gets the ball. Okay, that's a whole other story in itself. We didn't get anything from our bench tonight. We didn't get anything from Dunleavy. He was supposed to be that person, you know, filling in the void for Kyle. You know, we didn't get, you know, anything from Illy really. He started, so that's right. But Humph didn't really get enough playing time. Humph can give us minutes. Moose, he got killed because we went to an 8-man rotation all of a sudden, so he was the odd man out. So he's getting sparse playing time at best, and you know when you come off the bench, you have to have some kind of regularity. So it's just hurting us all the way around, and then you have the whole Malcolm Delaney situation that's just destroyed the whole season as far as I'm concerned because you were just going to ride with him. I still can't contemplate how it was just, you know, now you want to get Jose Calderon, but, you know, you still got Bynum out there who's like, you know, it's silliness. So what do you think is going to happen come next year? What do you really think is going to happen, Marcus?
It's a mystery, man. I'm trying to judge the franchise and what they've done so far. I know, you know, in last year and in years past, you could pretty much see what direction they were going. They were making certain key little moves here, whether it was for cap space or development issues, but just these last couple moves they made for this season, just speak on this season, I honestly have no clue what direction they're going in. Because I know we got some guys coming off the books now, as soon as the season's over with. But the real thing, though, is what they are going to do with Paul Millsap. Because really, you're in the same situation you are with Al Horford. Like, do you try to give him the max, or do you try to get him to do on a budget, on a discount? And again, Paul Millsap, 32 years old. This would basically be his. This is the contract for him.
Yeah. Well, it can't be from us though. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, but and people can say, well, we Millsap hasn't played, and we've lost all these games. But I'm like, we've only won 37 with him though. So I mean, like, where is that coming from, really? And really, it's not really so much him. And I say that his minutes, his time, his production can be replaced. And only because of a few games, now all of a sudden people want to try to call him a clutch player. He's never been a clutch player. So get that out your head. Okay?
He's not clutch, but he is what he's always been. That's somebody you can actually depend on. That's the thing. That he's become – he's a bit of an anchor man. He's more of a crutch. Because when he first came to Atlanta – yeah, when he first came to Atlanta, remember Al Horford got hurt and we kind of relied on Paul Mills help? He's become like the pacifier for the Atlanta Hawks fans. Yeah, because even when Al was hurt, we leaned on Paul Mills to try to get us through those games, and that was an ugly season. 33 wins and still in the playoffs, that was an ugly season. And then at one point, I think he was playing the center at one point. We have become dependent on Paul Millsap.
I remember that, but that was then and this is now, and he's on the other side of 32 years old. And just this little injury right here, what if he gets hurt like this next year? And, you know, we're talking about 7 games now, right? You know, and he's missed a couple of games before or whatnot. But I'm just looking at, we're never getting 25-10 out of Paul. It'd be different if we were, but we're like 17.8, and that's an average. So we're getting less than that lots of times. I mean, he's had games where he scored 6 points in a game before. That's not cool to me, okay? You know, LeBron James ain't out there scoring 4 or 5 points a game. He's not, right? Your superstars don't do that. Al Horford did that a whole bunch of times, didn't he? He's doing it in Boston now. I'm just being real. If we're going to pay money like that, I'd rather give it to THJ, who at the end of the day, he still had 16 as bad as he shot tonight. Right?
Yeah.
Like when he shoots the ball, it might go in. I don't feel like that with certain players on our team. Mostly, that's my gripe. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, if Steph is out there, he's supposed to be playing lockdown defense, and he doesn't, and he's not scoring, that's not beneficial to the team. You see what I'm saying? There has to be a segue of sensibility here, and we don't have it with this lineup, the rotations, the calls. I don't know what's going on with Bud. I'm not sure. I'm worried. Okay, because if we don't make the playoffs, again, we're at a position where we're not going to get like a top 10 draft pick unless we do something crazy. You see what I'm saying? So we're still mired in mediocrity, but we're winning. That's not good enough.
Crazy.
No, I don't want to go 8 years like Philly has done, but there got to be a middle tier of we got to do a reboot just like the Atlanta Braves did, just like the Atlanta Falcons did. We haven't done it, and I don't know if it's just – you know, if it's a curse or I don't know, but it's just to me, it's just something has to happen now. And us getting Dwight and ascending Dennis was part of it, and I felt really good about that. But now I don't, because now I feel we wasted Dwight. You see what I'm saying?
That
and that's
true.
What messes me up. You know, final thoughts, Marcus. I'm gonna get off the show for today. I'm gonna do a longer show. I'm gonna make sure I hit everybody up again so y'all know. Because I really appreciate you calling in. And again, one more time, make sure you let people know about your work, too.
Oh, absolutely. Just make sure you follow me on at SolWorks and Instagram. Or you can follow me on Twitter as well. You just hashtag SolWorks. You can't miss me.
Excellent.
Doing a lot of great things, doing everything.
Good. I want everybody to know that. Exactly. I want everybody to know, definitely keeping the loop for future shows. I have some new people I'll be having on the show soon. I'll be doing some more entertainment-related shows. I have some models I haven't had on the show for a while. I'm about to get them on, some producers, magazine people, things of that nature. I'm about to really turn up on the entertainment stuff again soon. Of course, I'm always going to do business and sports, but it's about that time of the year where a lot of stuff is happening in the ATL. And a lot of stuff is happening. By the way, of course, make sure you visit www.imtnworldwide.com. That's my company site. Everything is on there. Until next time, Marcus, I appreciate you. We're going to have you on the show again soon. And for me, this is me signing off, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Y'all take care.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.